Next topic is accounting policy changes. I give the floor to Delight.
Thank you. We will move on to agenda paper 5 on accounting policy changes. The proposed amendments to IAS 8 aim to simplify the application of accounting policy changes that result from an agenda decision by introducing a cost-benefit threshold for retrospective application of such changes. The proposed amendments were intended to remove a barrier to making changes that would improve the usefulness of information for users and also to encourage greater consistency in the application of IFRS standards. The objective of this meeting is to ask for views, yours, and any others that you may have heard from your jurisdiction on the project direction regarding the proposal to introduce the new cost-benefit threshold. Now, Agenda Paper 5A includes our preliminary views in the light of the comments received. This has not yet been discussed by the board or any other body, so bear in mind that they are very much preliminary staff views. Paragraphs 9 to 15 present an overview of the feedback. The main comments raised regarding the proposed cost-benefit threshold relate to its scope and application. Appendix A presents a preliminary analysis of the main comments received, and based on that analysis, we have identified two possible approaches. One is to proceed with the amendment, but to expand their scope so that the cost-benefit threshold would apply to all voluntary changes in accounting policy. The second is not to proceed. Paragraph 16 to 24 explain the reason for those approaches. I would now like to turn your attention to the question on page 9. We are asking for your views on which approach you would suggest and why. And we are also happy to answer any questions you might have on our analysis, if helpful. Thank you.
Anthony.
Well, I think we welcomed the idea that we should make it as easy as possible for companies to change their accounting policy so it's more relevant and reliable. But we were so convinced by that logic that we wouldn't have limited it to ones coming about because of agenda decisions. I think the status of agenda decisions is difficult enough in some jurisdictions, and without there now being a separate set of rules within standards that relate to those agenda decisions, I think if anything it would only cloud that debate and amplify the disagreement as to what the true status of these are. So we were certainly in the camp that recommended that the cost-benefit practical expedient comes in, but that it should be applied across all voluntary changes. And I would say since then, since responding, I have thought a little bit about whether that should also apply where a standard already gives an explicit accounting policy choice. So it might be that the cost-benefit analysis wouldn't apply to that, because it seems to me you've always had the ability to do that. You've always known those options were there. But that's a later side. I think the central thing we would fall into the camp in here of not limiting it to just agenda decisions.
Jim?
So I think similar requirements in U.S. GAAP in terms of change. We don't have the cost-benefit test today, but it seems very reasonable to do so. We're a little bit different in terms of not having the agenda decision process, which then maybe causes people to have less voluntary changes. And responding to some of the feedback, I wondered if it's possible. I get you're now asking preparers to put themselves in a shoe of having not just to evaluate their costs, but probably harder, the collective benefit. And if it's expanded, fine, but if you then think about the agenda decision, perhaps as part of that, at least you could consider whether there might be some indicators given to folks about, would this one be one that would be more likely not to be cost beneficial? So it's a new standard, it doesn't go back very far. Maybe the agenda committee, as part of its as part of the agenda decision, you could have some indicators saying this one generally would meet the cost benefit test or something that might directionally help people, because you've got a group that's collectively better positioned perhaps to at least evaluate the benefit of that change. I don't know, it might help respond to some of the concern.
You check.
Okay, thank you. Generally, we welcome the idea to incorporate the agenda decisions in the IFRS standards, but we have some concerns about the introduction of the cost effective as a threshold, because it's very difficult to obtain sufficient evidence or get verified in practice when we are talking about cost effective. We are also afraid that it might become an excuse for the entity not to adopt retrospective approach. Besides, some stakeholders have some concerns that it may bring negative impact on the quality of the accounting information. So we suggest not proceeding with the proposed amendment. Thank you.
Over. Yes, thank you. Looking at the two alternatives in the paper, we like the fact that the staff is not treating agenda decisions as a special class of items that go in there. It's either change all for those or do nothing. Having said that, we support the existing guidance in IS 8 for voluntary changes in accounting policy that do not arise from agenda decisions. We do think there should be a high hurdle for those voluntary changes for comparative purposes and as well as anti-abuse purposes, and therefore we don't support lowering the threshold for those voluntary changes in accounting policy. So if we are to choose from the two alternatives, we would support do nothing. Having said that, I would like to repeat what we have been saying in earlier ASAF meetings, which is that we do not like the fact that the ISB wants to change practice using this non-authoritative guidance. If the ISB were to encourage companies to change practice, we believe that the ISB should go through the formal due process and change the authoritative guidance to do so. And I think that is the fundamental problem we have here by saying that they are non-authoritative, but nonetheless people should try to apply them, and therefore it comes into this voluntary, almost not non-voluntary changes, and that's the inconsistency or the that comes up. So if we are to come up with if we were to fundamentally rethink what we need to do, I think it is to make all the changes through the authoritative process.
Linda?
So basically what Nobu said, with the additional proviso that, well, a couple of additional comments. I don't know any preparer who thinks that a change in policy from an agenda decision is voluntary. Just that comment. We would also suggest you don't proceed for a lot of the same reasons. And we would just remind you in terms of timing of agenda decisions that we do a quarterly reporting cycle. And so, too, I particularly liked your article about a reasonable amount of time. And perhaps you could tell your friends in the firms they should read that article.
I'll try.
Just general support for the change and the application, retrospective application, only if obviously it makes sense in terms of providing information, which is not the same thing as being material. is important just to separate this depending on the information. It's relevant even if the change is not material, because if you don't restate the information, people will be guessing what that information would be for. And I think it's being repetitive here, but just to stress again, even if you don't restate, it's important to be absolutely clear in disclosure that you are changing the policy. And what is the effect of the change in the policy today, which is, so I'm under the old policy, the results were to be X, under the new policy, the results are going to be Y. So in the sense that at least now I show the effect of the change in information. That's the comments.
Thank you.
It is our understanding that the accounting policy changes that result from the agenda decision of the interpretation committee happen rarely, we understand. The committee sometimes makes a decision to allow entities to use more than one alternative view. In that case, if an entity changes an accounting policy by considering the agenda decision, that is a voluntary accounting policy change. We believe that it would not be necessary to allow special accounting treatments for such rare cases of a voluntary change of accounting policy that result from an agenda decision, other than general voluntary accounting policy changes. If there is no change in interpretations or IFRS, but an entity changes its accounting policy, it would mostly be an error correction of a wrong treatment, which resulted from misunderstanding of the related IFRS, among others. So we are not concerned about whether sufficient time for applying a new accounting policy that results from an agenda decision should be given to entities, because this agenda paper is dealing with voluntary accounting policy changes rather than a mandatory error correction. Thank you.
Leonardo.
Thank you. We think that the two approaches proposed by the staff are better than the disclosure draft. However, we think that the best solution is not to proceed with the proposed amendment, because in our view, ISA already provides guidance for the retrospective application. So we prefer to quit the project.
Alexander?
No,
it's the last one. Can I ask everybody to speak up a little bit, because the acoustics are not good and the people in the back probably have a problem understanding.
We've got feedback from three AUSS members other than the individual ASAM members. First, Australia did not support the extension of the cost-benefit threshold to all voluntary changes in accounting policy. They emphatically reiterate what they mentioned in their previous comment letter, saying that widening the scope of the amendment would result in more frequent voluntary accounting policy changes, reducing comparability across entities. And second, India suggested not to proceed with the exposure draft, largely out of concern that it would be difficult for entities to assess benefits from the user's perspectives appropriately, and leaving the assessment of cost benefit to individual entities will only make financial statement incomparable. So they believe that the existing principle on impracticability will leave from retrospective application alone is adequate. And lastly, Hong Kong, represented by HKI CPA, quoted Hong Kong preparers as saying cost benefit threshold in particular, expected benefits from users' point of view is very onerous for preparers to assess because it is highly subjective. As an alternative, HKCPA suggested that voluntary changes in accounting policies resulting from agenda decisions should be applied on a prospective basis with an option left for retrospective application at company's choice. Thank you.
Patricia.
Yes, in our comment letter, we supported the what's now being called the modified ED. So we also thought through, and we did that because we just didn't think the line between a policy change for an agenda decision and another policy change was clear. Unless your case was exactly in line with the fact patterns in an agenda decision, we saw the ability to stretch the impact of the agenda decision to take on this relief. And the cynics among us also thought that if you ask a preparer to assess cost and benefit, what's going to be very clear is the costs are very high because the preparer can see those very clearly, and obviously the benefits to users are very low because any preparer can always see that benefits to users are low. So we think that going that way, you do need to be provide quite a lot of guidance about around cost benefit. To get an up-to-date answer for you, we surveyed our consultative forum of standard setters in Europe, and I'm pleased to announce it was approximately 50-50. So I think that we are in a position that we simply can't say that neither is acceptable in Europe, or both of them are not acceptable in Europe because half of Europe that voted didn't like them. Interpret it which way you like.
We can summarize that as mixed views all around.
I think so.
Which means that we'll have to make up our own mind.
Yeah. I heard almost, sorry, I haven't counted up the number, but it's very helpful. It sounds like, well, possibly half and half in the room are supporting one way of moving forward and the other. But what's very helpful to hear is obviously you've each provided, you know, your reasons sort of supporting why your views land in one place or the other. So some food for thought.
Okay. We are a bit ahead of schedule, and I propose that we just steam ahead and finish the discussion for today.